Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the favour economy. The questions this cast answers are, when should I ask for a favour? Should favours have equal value? And how many favours should I do?
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
We've talked about favors before. We've talked about imbalances in favors for one person, but we've not talked about the favor economy as a whole, and that's what we're going to address today. So favors are things you do for people that help them, but not necessarily help you. And they are the currency of the workplace. The favors go backwards and forwards between you and other people and between other people and themselves. And eventually favors come back to you. And it doesn't quite run the same way as the monetary economy, although some people seem to think it does. So we're going to kind of blow that myth out of the water and tell you exactly how the favor economy does work. So give us our outline, Sarah.
All right. Our outline for today is number one, don't ask immediately for the return favor. Number two, don't expect equal value. Number three, don't do a favor expecting a favor. And number four, do lots and lots and lots of favors.
That's my favorite one. So the first one was don't ask immediately for the return favor.
Unlike the real economy, a favor doesn't beget an immediate favor. So when we're in a store, we expect the goods that we've bought given to us directly. However, the favor economy, it works much more like transactions we make where we pay upfront and wait for them to arrive, right? In fact, when we have to make several payments before our goods arrive, more like shopping online versus shopping at the shopping mall.
Yeah. So if you'd just given somebody a favor and the economy worked like the financial economy, you would do a favor for someone and they would immediately say, what can you do for me? And you would then do something for them. And that's not how it works. If you do a favor for someone and they immediately say, well, what can you do for me? Here's my favor that I want. It's really jarring and it's a surprise that somebody would want something straight away. And that's because we know inherently that the favor economy works differently and it works more like the online economy. But we don't necessarily think about it that way, which is why we want to describe it and make sure that everybody's kind of got it in their own head.
Absolutely. When we order goods from Amazon, we don't expect them to arrive immediately. Right, there's that latency, that delay period, a few hours to a few days. In the same way, we don't expect that immediate favor return. There may not be, well, a favor that you can do for that person immediately in that moment. And we don't store up favors in order to be able to give them out to somebody when someone does us a favor.
We don't like have a closet full of favors that we've been saving. Someone does us a favor and we give them one out of the closet. That's kind of not how it works. Let's say Gail helps Robert out by putting a rush on a report he wants. Right at that moment, Gail might need a favor, but it's not one that Robert can help with. Gail might need help with a dozen things, but just because she's given Robert a favor by putting a rush on his report doesn't mean that there's something he can do for. He can't necessarily fill in one of those favors that she needs. Just because it might not be something that's in the realm of his job, or he might not have the authority. There's all sorts of reasons why what Gail needs might not be something that Robert can supply right at that moment. And so for now, the favor only goes one way. But weeks later, when Robert needs another report, and maybe Gail's snowed under and could do with some extra days to be allowed to do Robert's report, maybe his report isn't urgent and he's able to give her that favor of, it's fine. It can be a couple of days, or I just need it by the end of the week. And he's then paying back the favor from weeks earlier by giving her a break this time. If there's a regular activity, if these reports are something that gets done, you know, on a regular basis, then there's probably an evening out of the favors. But in any one moment, Robert could owe three, he could be owed five. It's not necessary that the favors are entirely equal all the time. There's not a tit for tat with them.
Right. There's always that back and forth. And the worst thing, when Robert asked Gail to put a rush on a report, the absolute worst thing that she could do in that moment would be to say, what could you do for me?
Yeah, it's weird. I have been asked this and it's really strange. I just asked someone for a favor and they said to me, they'd given me the information that I needed. And then they said, and what can you do for me? And I had no idea what I could do for them. Like, I had been in contact with them through another person. So I was looking for some information. A friend of mine knew someone who had that information. And so I'd gone to that second person and I'd asked for this information. And then I knew, you know, the person's name, their job description. I knew kind of roughly where they worked and what they did, but I had no idea what I could do for them.
Right.
And so being asked that question was like, oh, well, I don't know. What do you want?
Unless Robert guesses, Gail needs to be specific about what she wants, right? What favor she needs. If he guesses, and he's right, that giving her that extra time and those reports aren't urgent is something that can be helpful, then he can't offer her that right now because he doesn't have the report that he needs, right? He can tell her that he'll do that in the future, but there's no immediate benefit. It's not a favor in that moment.
Exactly. He can only promise to do things in the future for her because
exactly.
If it's all about the timing of these reports, then he doesn't have a bunch of reports stacked up so that he can say, okay, this one can wait, this one's a rush, this one can wait, this one's a rush. That's not how they come. They come like once a week, once a month, or however. And what's more, asking what you can do for me is gauche. It means lacking in ease or grace and unsophisticated and socially awkward. It just makes the other person, the person who you're asking, just feel so uncomfortable and so, I want to get out of this conversation. I have no idea what to say. I don't know how to handle this. Even the most socially adept people find it difficult to know
how.
What do we do?
How do we do this?
Yeah, so don't do that. It's just weird.
They don't want to do you favors. You're awkward.
Yeah, socially awkward penguin.
Yeah, socially awkward penguin. I don't know how to do you favors. I don't know how.
So the next part is don't expect equal value.
Right. Favors don't have to be equal to balance one another out, and they rarely are. In fact, they rarely value out the same value to the giver as they are to the receiver, right? Everything's worth different values to different people. So when you're purchasing something on Amazon, they offer you an article and tell you how much you're going to have to be paying for that, and you decide whether or not you're going to pay the value for the item that they're offering. And it's worth different amounts to different people. So you may decide that a certain item, a table, for example, is too expensive because you're going to only use it for a very short amount of time.
So like if you were buying a picnic table or something, or a table for a certain event, you might only buy a plastic table that's only like $10 or something.
Mm-hmm. Whereas another individual might be buying that same table to stay in their house for years. So they may be willing to pay a lot more money. That table has more value, that same item, to a different person. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Indeed. Which is why Amazon's prices change something ridiculous like 200 times a minute or something mental.
Absolutely. So in the favor economy, there isn't equal value system either. There just isn't. In fact, the example we used earlier, there definitely isn't. So when Robert tells Gail, I can wait a week or so for this report, it's because he doesn't care if the report comes back in 1 or in 5 days. The favor is worth very little to him. Now, on the other hand, if Gail is swamped for the next 3 days, having one report that she can put aside is of a great deal of value to her in that moment.
Right. And in reverse, when he wants a rush on his report, then that the value of that favor, of the fact that she is willing to put a rush on the report and get it to him quickly, is worth way more than her just, you know, moving it to the head of the queue if she has like five to do, or just, you know, doing it in the same time that she would normally do. And it just comes out quicker because she's not rushed. So it could be that returning the favor is easy. It could be that for some reason, putting a rush on this report for Robert is actually quite difficult and the favors equal out, but they don't need to. And they don't need to equal out over time. So even though in this case, rushing the report and being able to leave it for a few days are more or less of equal value to Gail and Robert, even though they don't happen at the same time, that doesn't it's not necessarily so that they should equal out.
Favors are like two friends who meet each other for lunch on a regular basis. One time one person pays for both people, and the next time the other person pays for both people. And they assume over the long term that it's just going to balance out and no one counts and pays attention. I paid last time, you paid last time. There's no accounting for the time that one person had wine and then 3 weeks later the other person had a beer. It's just all going to work itself out in the end.
Yeah, those are the best relationships, the one where it doesn't matter who paid last time and you just kind of alternate and there's no big accounting. And it does all balance out over time.
Exactly.
So the next one is, don't do a favor expecting a favor.
Right. The reason we do favors is not to make someone owe us, right? It's not because we have a particular favor in mind that we want in return. If the favor economy has latency and favors are not equal, and then there's no point in expecting a return favor because the moment may never come.
Yeah. If someone's done a favor for you, let's say I do a favor for Maggie, it may be that some time passes, months pass, and there's nothing that I can do for Maggie that is something that's helpful to her. It may be that I never have something. In fact, the way our jobs work, I very rarely have something that I can help Maggie with. And when it is, maybe it's proofreading a document or something really small compared with the favors that she does for me. And so there's no value in me thinking, oh, I owe Maggie a favor, and like chalking it up and then waiting to be able to do this return favor that's exactly the value. That moment might never come. And so if I do a favor for Maggie and I expect her to give me a favor back, and that moment never comes, what am I going to do? Like, I have this bank of favors that people owe me and the moment never comes and then I leave the company. It's not like you need an accounting for that, you know? Eventually, either it'll come back or it won't come back, but that's kind of karma.
Right. I hope there's no bank because Tracy, who does finance here, she's going to have a huge bank.
The thing she owes me.
Yeah, of the favors that I owe her, because I can't do favors for Tracy. She's constantly doing favors for me. I can't do favors for Tracy. It's crazy.
Yes, I owe Paul a bunch.
I know. They're going to be collecting on me. Bank accounts. I have got some IOUs out there. It's crazy.
Like the end of the year, they come to you with an IOU know, list. Right? Like, you owe me 50 favors. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So if it's you, you're giving out the favors and don't expect there to be some accounting where everybody pays you back. It's not happening.
It's not happening. Additionally, we give favors with kindness, not expectation. So imagine receiving a gift when you know a return gift is expected of you. Like at Christmas. It takes a little of the joy away.
Yeah, when you know somebody's just bought you a present so that they can get a present back. That's horrible.
Exactly. Genuine gifts are given freely with no strings attached. I don't give gifts because you have to give me one back.
No, it's weird. And favors are the same way. We don't give them because we expect something back. We give it because we are being kind to someone. And people would say that kindness doesn't belong at work. Some people would say that. And yeah, kindness is one of the things that means that if you have a bunch of individuals together, say in a company, the ability to work together is enhanced if people are kind to each other. You know, if you have a workplace where everybody is hostile to one another, the quality of the work and the enjoyment of the work for everybody is so decreased that people don't want to be there. You know, people leave toxic workplaces for a reason. Whereas if people are genuinely kind to each other and they're doing the favors because they know it'll help the other person out, then that is the kind of workplace that people want to work in. And it's probably the kind of workplace that you want to work in. And so when you're giving favors, then that's what you need to think. I might never get this back. It's kind of like lending money. If you lend money to your friends, just expect never to get it back. Just do it as a favor. And if you get it back, then you're really lucky. Because if you don't get it back and you get angry about it, then you've ruined the friendship over something trivial. So favors are the same way. Just do them with kindness and think that you're building a kind and the kind of workplace that you want to work in.
Mm-hmm. And the last part, do lots and lots and lots of favors. Spread your favors around liberally. Often people want you to do things for them that take minutes for you because they're asking you to do things that are within your strengths, right? So things like checking a formula on a spreadsheet, proofreading a document for them, getting that square into part of a PowerPoint deck for them.
I hate that. I cannot make this work. And then I find someone who's good at PowerPoint and they do it in seconds.
Helping word a specific email for them. Grabbing a coffee for them because they don't have time for their before their next meeting. Covering their phone while they're in another meeting. And pulling a couple of numbers from a financial system. Helping debug a piece of code. Helping them work out the best way to approach a problem. The other day, I called Mark. I'm Mark. How would you spell this word with a Y or with an IE? Just random things.
And favors often are small. I don't know why. They just tend to be small. I guess you've got to have a lot of goodwill built up before you ask for a really big favor. And we've talked before about doing favors for one person and having a big gap between the number of favors they've done for you and the number of favors that you've done for them. And that's kind of uncomfortable for people. It's better if they're closer to equal. But in this case, we're not saying do lots of favors for one person. We're saying do lots of favors for everybody. And so you're spreading them around between all the people in your team or all the people you work with, all the people that you know in your network. If you do, the more favors you do, the more people that you have to approach when you need something. If I need a document proofreading, I often ask Maggie. But if Maggie's not free, I know that I have enough goodwill with other people that I could ask one of the other people in my team. And that's the kind of place you want to be. You don't want to be dependent on one person.
Absolutely. I'm constantly thinking through things. Yesterday, I randomly messaged Tracy. I'm like, Tracy, I can't think myself out of a wet paper bag right now. Can I please phone you and talk to you? I have an idea. I just randomly called her and talked to her.
Yeah, sometimes they call that in IT, they call that rubber duck debugging, meaning if you talk through the problem with a rubber duck or someone else, it's often the talking through the problem that solves the problem. It's not actually that you don't know the answer. You do know the answer. You've just got to say it out loud and explain it to someone else, and then the answer comes to you. And often that's all a favor is. It's just listening to somebody. And so you have lots of time to do favors for other people. It's not like we're saying, do all these favors and don't do your work. You do have to do your work, but there is time in between in the interstitial moments in a day where you can do favors for people without affecting your own workload.
Absolutely.
So favors are the currency of the workplace. They're the way that, you know, they say money makes the world go round. Well, favors make the workplace go round. And understanding the economy helps you make the most of it, and it means you'll always have someone to call on when you need them. And you'll always have support for your ideas because, you know, you've done a favor for all these people. And so when you go to them and say, hey, this is the presentation that I'm trying to put together. This is the one I'm going to put together for the meeting. Do you have any comments? And they say, you know, change this, change that, whatever. And then you say, and are you going to support me in the meeting? If this is what I've changed, are you able to support me in the meeting? Then you go to the meeting and it's really easy because all of those people are going to support you. And that's partly to do with pre-wiring, which we've talked about before. There's a cost for that. But it's partly also about people you owe favors. And when you look up in the organization and you say, oh, that's just politics, that's not what it is. It's the favors. It's the favors the same as when you're doing it as an individual contributor. You do favors for the people in your team. That's the same thing that's happening higher in the organization. You just call it politics because it looks different from below, but it's not. It's just trading favors. And who doesn't need someone to go into bat for them once in a while? Everybody needs that. So do favors, do lots of favors, do lots of favors for lots of people. And you'll find that your work gets easier and your workplace becomes a better place.
You can't be good at each and every single thing that you need to get done. You need to have people around you that are good at lots of things. Do favors for other people. Leverage their strengths to help you achieve your job.
Good point. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. Hope that was helpful. We'll be back next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're a Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.